Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. I think all of us should relate to Simon Peter's heartfelt expression at the sight of this incredible miracle because of Jesus. But for too many Catholics, we would be delighted for him to leave so we can go about our own lives and our own business. You know, with that enormous catch of fish, Simon Peter could have said, Lord, please leave and seriously, don't come back. I'm doing really good now in my business. Thank you for blessing it. With all this fish that I sell, I'll buy another boat. We'll expand. Things will be great. I'm good. Thank you for your help. And ask the Lord literally to go away so that his life doesn't change, except that his interaction with Jesus is a means to make his income better, his business better, his life in this world better by all measures of our secular society. For too many Catholics today, we're comfortable with that. And for too many Catholics, maybe that's why we go to Mass. Just make my life in this world a little better. We look to God to bless what we want, rather than look to God to do what he wants. As you know, because Simon Peter left his business at a booming moment, left the boats, left his family, we know that Simon Peter even left his wife. James and John left his father and followed Jesus. They ended up poor, persecuted, beaten, tortured, rocks thrown at them, whipped countless times, imprisoned, and eventually beheaded and martyred. Yay, let's all follow Jesus. But we know that's what happened. By measures of this world, everything went wrong the moment they started following Jesus. But by the measure of eternal life, nothing could have been better. Why do we come to Mass? Why do we pray? Why are we here? What are we really asking of the Lord? Or rather, what is the Lord asking of us? Do you know, it's easy to put God at a distance, to appear humble when we admit that we are sinners, which we are. The prophet Isaiah said as much when God called him. And he said, Lord, I am an unclean man, unclean lips, surrounded by unclean people. Who am I to be your prophet? But what God reveals to the prophet Isaiah is that it's not about you. It's about him. Our call to be prophets in the world, which we all are by virtue of our baptism, isn't based on you being holy or perfect. It's based on God's goodness and whether you reject his goodness or you accept it. Too often, for many centuries, Catholics thought, I'm going to just try to get out of hell and make it to purgatory. This whole idea of becoming a saint and a radical Christian is for priests and religious and brothers and sisters, bishops and so forth, missionaries. It's not me. I'm just trying to not get to hell. But there's no middle ground. The invitation that God has made to everyone to be a prophet happens by virtue of our baptism. To be a saint is the call of every baptized person. Yes, we are people of unclean lips, around an unclean people. And yet, God is perfect and good, and he calls us nonetheless, follow me, let them know my will. Follow my will and do what I ask. Isaiah accepted God's goodness while acknowledging his sinfulness. And by accepting his goodness, not based on Isaiah's holiness, he responded when the Lord asked, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am, send me. Isaiah was not called to be a prophet because he was holier than the rest or better, simply because God is good and he can transform all things, no matter how bad we think we are or may be. It's not an excuse to avoid the call to be a saint. And we see that especially with the example of St. Paul, and he alludes to it clearly in the second reading today. If you know the history of St. Paul, you know that he was Saul, a devout Jew. And when he heard that there were some Jewish peoples claiming this man born in Bethlehem who grew up in Nazareth was God, he was furious. How dare you speak such blasphemy? So Saul went about rounding up Christians and throwing them in jail. Men, women, children, elderly, it didn't matter. We know from Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, the author of Acts of the Apostles, that Saul had witnessed St. Stephen, the first deacon and martyr of the faith after Christ's death and resurrection, proclaiming that he saw Christ at the right hand of the Father descending down from heaven in glory. Saul was so livid at this preaching that he organized a group of men, held their cloaks while they all grabbed stones and beat Stephen to death. Saul facilitated the murder of the first Christian martyr. And then with that, continued rounding up Christians and throwing them in jail. It was only until Saul runs into Jesus, risen — he never met Jesus during his 3 years of ministry or 30 years prior — he's heading to Damascus to round up more Christians and throw them in jail, when Jesus, risen from the dead, appears to him on the way and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, we know that Saul literally didn't do anything to Jesus specifically, but he did a lot to his followers. And Saul realized that whatever I do to the followers of Jesus, I do to him. That's why his theology is replete with this idea of we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head and we are the members. Because he realized that whatever I do with my body, I do with the body of Jesus. And whatever I do to the bodies and persons of others, I do to him. And that all came from that encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus to round up more Christians to throw them in jail. As you know, he was struck blind. And a Christian had called by Jesus had to go and pray over him, his enemy, afraid that as soon as Saul could see, he would have him arrested and maybe even killed. But instead, Saul is converted. He's given the name Paul. And this murderer of Christians and persecutor of the church, the greatest in the first decades after the death and resurrection of Christ, would become author of half of the books of the New Testament. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. He doesn't deserve it. He says as much, "I am the least of those called by Christ." But it is possible, and it happened because of God's goodness. And because Paul accepted the invitation, there's no in-between. Jesus says, even in the book of Revelations, "Oh, how I wish you were hot or cold, but the lukewarm I will vomit from my mouth." I see that here in Rhino. Maybe 10, 20 years ago, young people who were not Catholic might have hated the church, all the scandals that were coming out. But behind that hatred for the church and priests, which I experienced by the gaze of many shortly after my ordination in 2005, a few years after the scandals hit, is a sign of the fact that they care. They wouldn't hate the church and be livid if they didn't care. Things are worse now because people are apathetic. They could care less. And what do you do with that? And I find that time and again here in Rhino with the young people. They don't even know what I am. They don't even recognize my collar. They're so clueless and so indifferent. There's nothing we can do, seemingly, to wake them up to the need of a Savior. For us, if we are a Christian, we cannot be in the middle. We have to choose. And the refusal to choose is a refusal in itself. Come follow me. Who will I send? Send me, Lord. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And from that moment on, Saul began proclaiming the gospel and leading the conversion of thousands and thousands of people to the Catholic faith to worship Jesus, whom he had persecuted. We see this too again in Peter. Jesus performs this miracle because Peter is humble enough to go against his own experience and expertise and to acknowledge that God is in his midst. Peter's a fisherman by trade his whole life. Jesus is a carpenter. He knows nothing about fishing by virtue of his trade. And he's a teacher of the scriptures, literally completely ignorant about the winds and the water and the currents and the fish and when the best time to fish is. But most people who have ever picked up a fishing rod know the worst time to fish is the middle of the day. The fish go deep, it's too hot, etc. Peter had fished all night when you should have fished to get the best chance of catching fish. And yet Jesus, the carpenter and teacher, tells Simon Peter, the fisherman, okay, now lower your nets. That doesn't make any sense. That's ridiculous. But Simon Peter's humble enough to say, it doesn't make sense to me, but I trust you, Lord, and I'm going to do what you say. He does, and the miracle happens that leads to his conversion, and him who admitted, depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man, to become the first pope in the history of the Christian and Catholic faith. Peter didn't deserve it, and he knew it, but he was willing to recognize that God is in our midst. His word is true, and I will follow it, even if it doesn't make sense to me right now. If I know it is Jesus speaking, I will do it. And because Peter did, everything changed for him and for the church. And as you know, James and John would even leave their father and their family business to follow Jesus just the same. Come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. This call of Jesus to Peter is a call that he makes to every baptized person. By virtue of your baptism, you are called to be missionaries and disciples. There's no middle ground. This idea of cultural Catholicism, I'm going to live like everyone else in the world, but then go to Mass on Sundays, is the biggest lie and will prove the biggest disappointment at the moment of your death. Because this isn't about luck. It isn't about playing some kind of spiritual lottery. It's about a relationship. And we love him or we don't. And the indifference is an answer in itself that we don't. At the end of the day, none of us are worthy. Priests are not ordained because they're worthy. Bishops are not ordained because they're worthy. Bishops and priests are not made cardinals, and bishops are not made popes because they're worthy, simply because they're called. And God can make anyone worthy if they accept his love, do his will, and follow him. So if you're baptized, and especially if you've been confirmed, you are called. The question is, what answer will you give? As for me in my house, with the prophet Isaiah, we say together, here I am, Lord, send me.